Amen. Amen. One of the secrets, it's not a secret, but not a lot of people know it and not a lot of people do it, so I guess you call that a secret. One of the secrets to walk in the victory that God has for us is that you lift up your voice. All over the Bible, from beginning to the end, you will see how important this is. There was nothing until God said. Starts right there, first verse of the Bible. And then you see over and over when the people of Israel went into battle that the Lord told them what to say. And he didn't say, okay, when you run at your enemy, you know, this is what you do. You just mumble these things just as low, with just a low voice. You know, we don't want to scare anybody. No, he told them. He said, this is what I want you to do. Even at one time, he said, even before you come with the army and with all the trained men, you put the worshipers first. And I want you to say this. I want you to shout to God. I want you to lift up your voice to the Lord. Not even care about your enemy. You lift your voice to the Lord. And it says they were so confused, you know, that they started to kill each other. They couldn't handle that. You see that the people of Israel, when they were supposed to take Jericho, God told them, okay, you lay low for a little while, but the time has to come at some point where you just, where you shout. And that's what brought the victory. Before Jesus came, he had to send somebody that was called a voice in the wilderness that said, make way for the king. So Jesus, before Jesus came, he had to send somebody that lifted up his voice and made way. And then Jesus told his disciples that whenever there is a mountain in your way, you're supposed to speak to that mountain. So when we lift up our voice, not just Sundays, not just Sundaily, but daily, we do it first of all to God, because he is great, he's mighty, he's powerful, he's awesome, he's the Most High God. He sent Jesus who saved us and redeemed us and healed us and loved us. But then the time has to come where we stop telling our mountain how big our God is, when we stop telling God how big our mountain is, and when we start to tell the mountain how big our God is. So we have to lift up our voice. This is something we have to do. Based on what Jesus has done, we can lift up our voice and we can say, Father, we thank you for everything you've done, and then turn around and look that thing in the eye and say, you move. You move out of the way. And it is something we have to do. God is not doing it for us. Jesus has done everything he can do to make us victorious. It's just time that we start to lift up our voice and claim that. Amen? Amen. So, remember that, you know, whenever something in your life is going on, there is this tendency we have that we want to react from the flesh. And when I say from the flesh, I'm not just talking about you get angry and you get mad and you start to yell at people. That's not the point, by the way, where you lift up your voice. No, we want to react. We think now we have to make it all happen and now we have to figure it all out. No, there is something we have to do, but it's based on what Jesus has done for us. And the very first thing we do, and you see it, it's, I mean, if we start a Bible study on that, we couldn't stop, because it's all over the place, like from beginning to end. The first thing you do is you lift up your voice and you praise the Lord. So first thing, you don't even care about your enemies. You don't even look at them. You don't even worry. You lift your voice up to the Lord. And then there is this point where you turn around and you say, now, mountain. And believe me, when you do that, he already starts to shake. Maybe he hasn't moved yet, but if you say, mountain, you move in the name of Jesus. He said, whosoever speaks unto this mountain, if I believe in my heart, and I do, And I will not doubt, you will move, you will obey, I will have what I say. So that what you did just now, when you lifted up the Lord, when you praised His name, you proclaimed what He has done for you, you were moving mountains, you were speaking to mountains, you were praising the Lord, you were doing what God told you to do to walk in His victory. What I want to encourage you is, don't just stop today. We don't have a lot of time on Sunday mornings. We come together to worship the Lord, have some fellowship, hear the Word of God, and that's it. That's it. But you need victory 5 minutes after this service is over. You need victory 10 minutes. You need victory on Monday morning. You want to walk in all these things. You want to walk in His peace and in His strength and in his healing and in His forgiveness and all these things. And the key, if there is the key, this is the key to do that. The first thing you do, before you do anything else, you lift up your voice to the Lord. And you say, Father, there are all these things that just try to wear me down. I'm just going to look to You. The Bible says when your mind is stayed on Him, you'll be at perfect peace. I don't know about you, but God's peace is perfect. And then when all these things are going on around you, suddenly, you know, you start to have this kind of peace. And everybody looks at you and say, how can you be so peaceful in all this? That's crazy. Well, God's peace is a crazy peace. Somebody should preach a sermon series on that. At least 20 parts or something. God's peace is a crazy peace. Doesn't make sense to your mind. Happens right here in your heart. But the way to get out of your mind is to first of all just focus on Him and say, Father, You are God. So it's what the disciples did. Why do I spend so much time on it? Because you need it. This is what the disciples did. In Acts chapter 4, you know, they were threatened. Their life was threatened. Their ministry was about, I mean, they were basically told, you stop your ministry. Everything Jesus told you stops right here. You don't preach the gospel anymore, and if you do, we're going to kill you. And what did they do? They went to their own company. They had church. So they went there, and they started praying. The first thing they say is, oh, You are God. You are the Lord. You have made all the world. You have made everything that is in this world. And they started to worship the Lord. And they said, no, You're higher than this. You are God. You created all this. And then they said, now look at what they just told us. We're a little scared here. But you know what? I just ask You to give us boldness to still speak Your word. So what did they do? They came to Him and they say, Father, in a moment here, we're going to turn around and we're going to speak again. So we just need some boldness. So they did exactly what you see all over the Word of God. And what did they do? They went out, they preached, they healed, and they were in perfect peace while they did it. Well, the circumstances, shipwreck, torture, they were stoned. Circumstances were not nice. Still, perfect peace was with them. Boldness was with them. God was with them. Whatever happened. But the key is, the first thing you do is you lift up your voice, you praise the Lord, you worship Him, you focus on Him, and then there comes a point where you turn around and you say, now, mountain, I will speak to you and you're going to listen because Jesus said so. And then you speak to that mountain, and Jesus said it has to move. It has to move. There's no choice. What if it doesn't move? It's not the choice of the mountain. Jesus has already said He will obey. If we keep believing in our heart. Amen? Amen. So that is important. Amen? So whatever there is in your life, God is greater. Whatever is going on, God is greater. And you need to tell Him that. Why? Because He doesn't know? No, because you don't know. When all these things come, for some reason, it seems to be the first thing we forget. Because if you don't forget that He is greater, you don't worry. Every time we worry and every time we care, in the negative sense, we take cares on us, the burden of care, it means we've forgotten a little bit that He is greater. We just put Him a little bit under this. God is greater than everything, but this? But if we would just focus on Him, look to Him, have fellowship with Jesus, understand how much He loves us, how much peace He wants to give us, it will totally change our lives. And then you turn around and then you tell your mountain. Amen? Amen. Well, that was longer than I thought. But it was good. Praise the Lord. God is good. All right, so before you're seated, turn around, greet somebody and say, God is great. Praise the Lord. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to... that's a good question. Let's turn to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. These are some of the last words Jesus said on earth. And in Mark 16 and verse 17, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So here is something Jesus promised when the disciples go out and when they start to preach the word. He wants that to follow every believer. There are some things He wants every believer to have these things in their lives. And there are some very good things in here. You know, we believe that there are gifts of healings. We believe the Holy Spirit gives these gifts of healings and uses some people in miraculous ways, you know, and all this. But does that mean now that when somebody in our midst is sick, that we have to just find the next preacher that comes to town and come to him and hope that in his service things are going to happen? No, we don't. Because Jesus said, "These signs will follow them that believe." That's the only qualification here. It's if you believe, this is something I have for you. This is not special or certain people or a certain calling. There are certain callings. There are certain ways God uses specific people, but this is not one of them. He says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And the thing that we started to focus on last Sunday is Jesus said, those who believe in Me and My name, they will speak with new tongues. There is something that God wants to give us, that when you're born again, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, there is an experience after that with the Holy Spirit. And some people call it being filled with the Spirit, and some people call it they call it the initial filling of the Holy Spirit, and others call it the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I don't care how you call it. But we saw in the Bible very clearly there is an experience with the Holy Spirit after you get born again, and you always see that there is a sign following, that there is something that happens, and we saw that what happens is God gives the ability to speak in other tongues. And we just looked a little bit at it on Sunday morning, so we don't have time to really go deep into these kind of things, but I still wanted to encourage you, if you don't have that experience, the Bible says, ask and it will be given unto you. The Bible also says that you can, you can come to us and we lay hands on you and we pray that you receive that. But then if you can speak with other tongues, if you can pray in tongues, I encourage you, you need to once again focus on that again and use it. It's something God has given you, not for fun. There is a reason why God has given you that. So today I want to focus on, I want to start speaking about three benefits of speaking in other tongues. There are more, but just three basic things what speaking or praying in tongues will do for us and in us. and why God has given us this, and why it is important for Him that every believer has it. There is a reason for that. So I want to just start with this, and as we look at it, as we see it in the Bible, you will see how important this is, and how good God is that He gives us this tool. And I just want to start laying foundation with 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, some of you may think, why would we turn to 1 Corinthians 13? Some of you Bible students, you will say, well, when we talk about speaking in tongues, shouldn't we turn to 1 Corinthians 14? But there is a whole chapter in the Bible where Paul talks about the importance of speaking in tongues, but also how to use it when we come together. And that alone tells you how important it is, because the Bible says they were all speaking in tongues. The Bible says, Paul says, you know, you can all speak in tongues. It's just you need to, there is in the service, in a church service, when you come together, there is a certain order. There is a certain way how God wants to do it. And that's where people get confused. Let's just read here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So he goes here through a whole list of things, and he says, if I do all these things, I give everything up. I even die for the Lord on the mission field and something. But if I don't have love, if I don't really walk in love, if love is not my motivation, it won't do me any good. Why it doesn't help me at all. And the first thing he lists here is, I speak with tongues of men and of angels. And then in verse 2 he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Why? Because we know love is the greatest of them all. But I want you to notice that in the first two verses, he goes through a whole list of the gifts of the Spirit. He just got done in 1 Corinthians 12 talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And he goes through a whole list. He talks about wisdom. He talks about prophecy. He talks about knowledge. He talks about all these things. He refers to what he just talked about. And one of the things he refers to is, even though I spoke with tongues of men and of angels. And one of the very interesting things, and we'll see that as we study this in the Bible, almost every time speaking in tongues is mentioned, we see there is a dual purpose. We see there are two things. On the one hand, we see that God wants to use it as real languages. We saw that last Sunday. We saw that when the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit, they started to speak in languages that they have never learned. And people suddenly understood them. It was amazing. So every time we see this, we see, because then on the other hand, there were some people they didn't understand. Acts chapter 2, some people said, oh, they're just drunk. Well, no, if you walk out and speak French and suddenly, and you have never learned French, and suddenly the French go like, oh, we understand him. How come we understand him? Have you ever learned French? And the Italians, they just go like, oh, why do we understand you? What's that gonna go? What's that? A dead Italian. Anyway, but you know, that is a sign of intelligence. That is a miracle. That is wonderful. People go like, really? You understand them? Wow. But the Bible says there were some people, they had no clue what was going on, and they said, no, they're just drunk. I mean, I don't understand a word they're saying. It sounds weird. It's just, for them, it was weird. Which is, by the way, exactly what God prophesied, but that's a little too We'll look that up probably next Sunday. But I just want to tell you right now, and you know, if you want to know more, you can ask me afterwards. Every time we see it mentioned in the Bible, and here it talks about sometimes there are tongues of men, sometimes the Holy Spirit miraculously, people will start to speak in tongues, and people will understand it in their language. Wow. And then sometimes, you know, it's a heavenly tongue. It is not an earthly tongue. And you see that over and over in the Bible that there is this dual purpose. There are these two things that God wants to accomplish with this. If that's too deep, just go like tilt. I'm going to tell you when you can pay attention again. But if you just look real quick here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, it says, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries." Acts chapter 2, they understood them. And here he talks about something which no man can understand. No man can understand. It is something in the spirit. It is a spiritual language. You're speaking in the spirit. And in my Bible, it even says if you speak in an unknown tongue. That word is not in the Greek. The translators here put that in there. But I tell you why they put it in there. Because in their mind, in their theology, this is talking about a tongue, about a language that nobody knows. Nobody knows this. Nobody understands it. There is no way people can understand this. So this is not for men. This is not. We are not preaching like in Acts chapter 2 and telling people about Jesus. That's not what we're doing here. Here in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, this is talking about something nobody understands. It is something you speak in the Spirit. It is mysteries. And the Bible says then you built yourself up with that. So I just want you to understand, because when we talk about spiritual things, sometimes it doesn't make sense to your mind. So sometimes you will have this wonderful miracle that somebody has this supernatural power from on high, starts to speak in a language that they have never learned, and somebody else says, "Wow, you just spoke my language. You just told me about Jesus in my language." And we have testimonies over testimonies where these things happen. And when you look at church history, we see the same thing. We see that when the apostles preached, people get baptized with the Holy Spirit, start to speak in tongues, in languages they've never learned. Never, ever. And then we see the historical record shows us that they were moving to that nation to preach the gospel there. Well, if God has given me that language, then I'll go there and then I'll preach to them. That's amazing. And at the same time, we have reports where people say, well, those Christians, they are speaking in languages that nobody on earth understands. It's not an earthly language. Nobody understands it. It's kind of like a secret code or something. People were confused, and they always have been. The church always has been. You will find people that say, no, these are known tongues. These are languages that are spoken somewhere in the world. And that has stopped. We don't experience that. And then others, even us charismatics, they don't see that. We think all of this is shabba ba ba ba. And that's not what it is either. There is a reason why God has given us this. And in the minute we have left, I want to tell you about the first benefit of speaking in tongues. And it's very important. In Romans chapter 8, and this will help you. This is really cool. And what I'm talking about right now is when you speak in other tongues in this heavenly language that God has given you. I'm not talking about God uses you to preach the gospel to another nation. I'm talking about you praying or speaking or worshiping in that heavenly language that God wants to give you. The Bible says it means that you are speaking in the spirit. Paul said, "My mind is not connected to it. My spirit prays when I pray in tongues." And in Romans 8, it tells us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:26, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So this says we don't know how we should pray, but the Spirit, He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Or, you know, it actually means with groanings that cannot be expressed in articulate language. And I don't know about you, have you ever, you know, there was a situation you wanted to pray and you didn't even know how? You know, sometimes, you know, if you're a Bible school student, you know, and you've studied the subject of prayer, and somebody, you know, says, "Oh, let's pray for this," you just go like, "I don't know how to pray. I don't really know right now what scriptures, you know, I have here, and I don't really know how to pray." Well, how wonderful is it that you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and that God has given you this heavenly prayer language, which is in the Spirit. It is mysteries in the Spirit. Your mind is not connected to it. It is just a working of the Holy Spirit in your life that you can pray, and you pray the perfect prayer. You pray right, because the Holy Spirit helps your infirmity. If you're at a point where you have no clue how to pray, He wants to help you. You have no clue in your mind. You don't know how to figure it out in your mind. Maybe, you know, this is the one part. On the other hand, what if your mind is overwhelmed? If you just heard something, you just got news from something, you just don't know what to think about it, your mind is constantly in the way. There is even doubt in your mind. How wonderful is this? That the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities when we are weak in a certain area, when we don't know, when we have no clue, when we are overwhelmed. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and when we asked Him to come on us and baptize us with the Holy Spirit, to flood us, to give us this gift of being able to speak in these new tongues, to pray in heavenly languages, how powerful is that, that the Holy Spirit just prays? It is our spirit together with the Holy Spirit that prays. Paul said, "I want to pray with my mind." Sure, that's important. But I also want to pray in the Spirit. And when I pray in the Spirit, it is my spirit that prays. It is not my mind. I'm not thinking. I don't really know what I pray. That's why the Bible says, you know, you should pray that you interpret. Because our mind will not know. But how cool is that? I mean, really, how cool is that? As a pastor, you meet so many people and you hear about so many people that say, "Well, you know, and this happened in my life, or that happened in my life, and I just didn't even know what to say anymore. I couldn't even pray anymore." What does that mean? It means they were so overwhelmed. Their flesh, their soul, their mind was so overwhelmed that they didn't even know how to pray anymore. They were so overwhelmed with sadness, or they were in shock, or they were in fear, or I don't know, that they said, "I didn't even know how to pray anymore." Well, our spirit is born again. It's a new creation in Christ. Our spirit is not fearful. We haven't received a spirit of fear. Our spirit is not overwhelmed. Our spirit is not weak. The weak part is our flesh. So how awesome is this, that when we are weak in our mind, weak in our flesh, when we are missing it somewhere, that God said, "Hey, the Holy Spirit wants to help in you. He wants to work, wants to help you, wants to work in you, wants to pray through you." And how wonderful is it that God has given us this tool, that we can pray the perfect prayer, totally in line with the will of God. A heavenly prayer language. How wonderful is that? That's amazing. That's awesome. And it does not limit us to our understanding anymore. It doesn't limit us to our strength anymore. When all strength is gone, when we don't understand the situation, when we are weak in our body, when we're just laying somewhere, when we are depressed, we don't want to do anything anymore. We don't even want to pray. We don't even want to open our Bible. Well, there is something God has given you if you have received it. In that moment, that can make all the difference in the world. You pray, and in the Spirit you speak. What did they do in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2, when they received these supernatural languages, they went out, and everybody says, we hear them, we understand them, and we hear them talk about the works of God. So one of the things the Holy Spirit will do, remember, Jesus said he will remind you. So when you're there and you don't know what to do, you're just out. I mean, you're overwhelmed, you're in fear, you're weak, you're in pain, whatever it is, whatever the situation is. There is something God has given you to automatically have your spirit and the Holy Spirit work together and pray and speak. And we have heard how important that part is. And speak in the spirit the works of God, what Jesus has done for you, what God has done for you. And it will do something in you. And we'll look at exactly what it does, next Sunday. Friday. We'll meet on Friday. But this is the first thing I just wanted to look at. Perfect prayer. Prayer in the Spirit. This is amazing. And I want to tell you this. This is one of the reasons why I believe God wants to give this to everybody. This is so amazing and this is so wonderful. If this is just for some elect few, God would be a respecter of persons. See, some people, when you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, some people will tell you, you believe in second-class Christianity. You believe there are some people, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they are first-class Christians, and others are second-class Christians. And I always say, no, you believe in that. You believe there are some people that can pray the perfect prayer, that when they are weak, the Holy Spirit wants to help them and make intercession in them and give them the words and pray through them. And you tell me that God doesn't want to do it for others. That is second-class Christianity. I just believe there is something that God wants to give every person. That is not second-class Christianity. That means God loves everybody so much that he has this for everybody, and it will bless everyone. So, as last Sunday, I just want to encourage you, if you have spoken, if you have received this, and you somehow let it go, it doesn't make sense to you, sometimes you do it when everybody else does it, or start to practice this. Just say, Father, thank you so much. I pray what I do know. What you do know in your mind, you pray in your mind. And then there are times where you don't know how to pray. It's what we do at staff prayer. When we meet as the Rhema Germany staff to pray every week, this is how we pray. I always start out in the mind. This is not thus saith the Lord, this is thus saith Alex. I always start with my mind. And there are things I know from the Word. I always start, Father, thank you so much that through Jesus I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can just come to you. There is nothing that holds me back. And I ask you in the name of Jesus, and I pray with my mind what I can pray. And then it's just amazing how quickly I come to the end of my mind. Especially when you pray about Rhema Europe and Rhema Africa and Rhema Middle East and all these things. Sure, there are things you can pray, but then after a while you go like, well, Lord, what do I know? And then you're so grateful for this prayer language. You just go like, well, Father, you're going to pray. And then while you pray, there are things suddenly that come up in your mind. You go like, that's what I can pray. And you see, it's amazing. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. There are no second-class Christians. So if you have received that and you just haven't practiced it, pick it up again. But if you're here and you have never received that, well, you've come to the right place. God wants to give that to everybody. And the only condition is it will follow them that believe. You don't have to be super holy, super smart. You don't have to have been in this church forever. You don't have to pay your tithe. You don't. This is not what it's about. This is just about a gift that God wants to give each and every children of His. So if that is you, you know, we're going to close the service. We're going to sing another song. And I, like I said last time, you can ask Him to do it. Or you're welcome, you know, to just come up here while we sing. You can come up here while we sing, and, you know, we will be up here. And when you come up, we know that you came up for this. So we're just going to come to you and pray for you. And we will just pray that we'll lay hands on you. We pray that you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you have to come believing and receiving. You have to say, I will receive that. And then at one point, when we ask Him, when we pray, when you say, Father, I want to receive that, just open your mouth. You just open your mouth and you start worshiping Him in a language that is not yours. You will see that there are words just coming up, and your mind goes wild. It goes like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm not used to this. Well, your mind is like that. But the Lord wants to give it to you because He's good. Amen? All right, let's sing.